BBC presents Destination Fire. The Sound of Fire, a story by Philip Levine, with Robert Beattie as Q Barnaby, fire investigator.
To him.
You were fab, Johnny. Great. They loved you.
Don't you deny? Will you listen to that?
How about a TV? Think you can fix something?
Oh, sure, Johnny. Once you're in the charts.
Yeah, but it's a matter of getting there. I need the right number.
We'll find you one. Tape it ourselves and whip it along to the recording companies.
What about that new American hit?
Already recorded. Marty Brown.
Oh, couldn't you have got in first?
Now, be realistic, Johnny. I'm new to the business like you are. Think back. 3 months ago, you walked into my recording studio to make a tape. Now, if I hadn't had faith in you, think I'd have invested a small fortune in you? New guitar, clothes, photographs. I've spent hundreds on publicity.
Well...
And you've got the use of my flat. What more can I do? I got you this book in, didn't I?
Middleston.
Well, like I said, it all takes time and capital.
You get your 50% cut, don't you?
Be a long while before my investment's repaid. You run me into the red, Johnny. But I'm not complaining. So be a little patient, eh?
Okay. Where's the next date?
In town. A small club in Acton. The loot's not too hot, but I'm hoping to get a few of the TV people along.
Yes? Yes, can I... Oh, hello, Johnny.
Hi, Sue.
I am privileged. A kiss from the great Johnny Seaton himself.
All right, you can cut that out. Where's Mitch?
Down in the basement, Studio One. Recording machine's gone wrong.
What, again? Well, get hold of an electrician.
They like to be paid.
Yeah, like that, is it? Well, what's wrong with the machine?
Oh, I don't know. Something about a fuse and a transformer. You any the wiser?
Yes, I am.
Oh, are you now?
Well, it may surprise you to know that I was once an apprentice electrician myself.
Oh, I can't imagine you in a pair of overalls.
Hey, that's not a bad gimmick. Me and a group dressed in greasy overalls.
Yes. You could call yourself Johnny and the Boilermakers.
Yeah. No, thanks. You say Mitch is down in the studio?
Yes, he's in number one.
Hello, Mitch.
Oh, hello, Johnny. Be with you in a sec.
What's the trouble?
I think the transformer's gone.
And change it.
Lend us a few quid and I would. By the way, got you a date in Bradford on the 3rd?
Signed a contract?
No, it's on my desk, waiting to go off.
Then scrap it.
How do you mean, scrap it?
Well, look, there's no point in beating round. I've had an offer from Bert Drobick.
But you're already signed to me.
I know about that, but... Oh, let's face it, Mitch, you're just not big enough. Drobick's got all the names. He's in with all the recording companies. Already he's got a string of dates lined up.
But you can't take them. Not without my permission.
Well, let's come to some arrangement.
Sure. I'll sell him the contract.
Will you?
But it'll cost him 20,000.
Oh, you're mad or something.
That's what I think you're worth, Johnny. Or will be in time.
But he'll never pay that.
Then you'll have to be patient, Johnny boy. You're tied to me for another 5 years.
Well, you're making a habit of it, aren't you, Johnny?
Huh?
Working late.
Oh, well, if Mitch can't get me a number, Sue, thought I'd write me home.
Oh, that piano needs tuning.
Yeah.
Mitch is gone. Why don't you use number one studio?
No, I'm okay in here.
So, still won't release you?
Nah. Tried everything. Not a hope, legally.
If only he could get you a recording. There's a great number I heard, just you, called, I Know You're Not Alone. You know, this girl phones a boyfriend, but she knows he's not by himself.
How?
I don't know. can hear her breathing, I suppose. Here, that's the first time I've seen you smile for days. Don't tell me I've given you an inspiration.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you have. Huh? Tell me, you busy tonight, Sue?
Oh, not specially.
Well, look, I'd like to put in another couple of hours more work. Then maybe I could give you a ring.
What time?
Oh, about 8. Suit you?
Oh, fine. Oh, but you won't make it any later, will you, Johnny?
Hello?
Ah, Johnny here.
Oh, not still working.
Nah, just about to leave. It's just 8. I should be with you by 4:15.
Oh, no sooner. Just got out of a bath. I'm not dressed yet.
Oh, hurry it up. I thought we might go...
Johnny, are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, hang on a second. I can smell something funny.
Well, what do you mean?
Don't know. Burning, I think.
What?
Yeah, there's some smoke coming from number 1 studio. Hang on, will you?
Can't even get my coat off. Hello. Quentin Barnaby's office?
Crown Insurance. Have you arrived yet?
I have. Hello. Barnaby here.
Good morning, Barnaby. This is Morgan.
Ah, I thought it might be. What's the trouble?
There's been a fire.
Well, I gathered that. Who's claiming what?
Well, it's a trifle complicated. I think you could drop by head office.
Not before 10:30.
Well, that'll be fine. Be expecting you.
Well, don't forget the red carpet, will you?
Here's a policy, Barnaby.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
It's for number 40 Denman Street, just off Chain Cross Road.
Mm-hmm.
The area described as Timpanelli, I believe.
Yes.
Comprised of a few offices and a couple of recording studios in the basement.
I see the policy's in the name of Dennis Mitchell.
Yes, but the building's owned by Cummin Properties. Now, if you've seen the morning paper...
No, I'm afraid I haven't yet.
Well, the fire hit the front page. Some young pop singer was working there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here, take a look. That's him, Johnny Seaton. Mitchell was his manager or agent. He's covered for fire, and Cummin Properties will expect us to make good.
Mm. Their assessor's been down?
Oh, yes, early this morning, and was greeted by several of Mitchell's creditors.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, he owed money in all directions. Rent, furniture, equipment. This could be a case of arson, Barnaby.
Yes. Has Mitchell put in a claim?
No, we can't seem to contact him. If you ask me, he may have left town to establish an alibi. But he'll turn up. They always do.
Someone down here, Bill. Hello there.
Ah, Mr. Barnaby, I presume.
Ah, yes, you're the fire officer.
Gilby.
How are you, Mr. Gilby? My secretary, Miss Crane.
How do you do, Miss? Would you like to come through to the studios?
Please.
After you, Miss Crane.
Thank you.
There were 2 small studios. It started through there, number 1, and then spread into here and to the upstairs offices.
The stairs didn't seem too bad.
No, well, you see, the air conditioning was switched on and the fire travelled up this shaft.
When were you called, Mr. Gilby?
8:13, to be exact. And what with the evening traffic, arrived at 8:20. Like an inferno down here. And this young chappie, this pop singer, Johnny Seaton, we found him on the stairs, out cold. They whisked him to hospital.
Still there, is he?
Well, as far as I know. We had it under control in about 15 minutes.
Mm.
By the time the place was pumped out, it was nearly 11. And the main cable's gone, so this is temporary lighting.
It was Seaton who called the brigade, was it?
No, he was in this studio, on the phone to some girlfriend, Miss Weston. She works here, apparently, secretary. Anyway, he smelt burning, opened that door and got hit by the smoke. Fortunately, she could hear the fire and called the brigade.
Has the owner, Mr. Mitchell, turned up yet?
No, he hasn't. It seems a bit odd, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
The damage will run up a bill for at least 6,000 or 7,000, I'd say.
Well, thanks for your cooperation, Mr. Gilby.
Well, if I can help in any way, just give us a call.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Cheerio. Well, let's go into the other studio, Val.
All right. Ooh, things are bad in here.
Yes, once that door was open, the fire was drawn rapidly through here by the air conditioning.
Well, where's all the recording stuff?
In there, the control room, behind the glass panel.
Surprised it survived the fire.
Well, there's double windows for soundproofing. Let's take a look, shall we?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's little doubt that it started in here.
Some fault in the equipment.
Or something left on. It'll take some time to sift through this lot. You better call Alec and get him down here, would you?
Someone's coming down the stairs. It could be Mitchell.
Well, we'll soon see. Can I help you?
Oh. Who are you?
My name's Barnaby. I'm retained by Crown Insurance.
Oh, I'm Sue Weston. I work for Mr. Mitchell.
Then you haven't seen him by any chance?
No, that's why I'm here. I've been trying to contact him since last night. I don't know whether to find a new job or what.
Well, he's on the phone, isn't he?
Yes, but no reply. Oh. I can't understand it.
When did you last see him?
Last night. He left around 6. Said he had someone to meet, but if I needed him, he'd be back at the flat by 8.
I see. I gather you called the brigade.
Yes. You see, Johnny was on the phone to me. Johnny Seaton.
Hmm. What time was this?
On the dot of 8. Anyway, he smelt burning, but... And he put the phone down and went to see what it was. And suddenly, I could hear him coughing and the sound of burning. And then there was this awful crash of glass. I knew something had happened, so I called the brigade.
But they weren't called until 8:13.
Oh, well, that wasn't my fault. You see, I'd have called them right away, but Johnny left the phone off the hook at this end, so I couldn't clear the line.
Ah.
I'd had a bath and I was still undressed. I suppose it was a good 10 minutes before the time I got to a phone.
You've no idea where Mr. Mitchell can be reached?
Not a clue.
Mr. Mitchell is Mr. Seaton's agent, wasn't he?
Yes, he discovered him and had him under contract. Oh, poor Johnny. Be awful if the smoke's ruined his voice. Though they said he was comfortable.
Which hospital's he at?
The Central. It's easy to find. Go through Holborn and turn left at Gray's Inn Road.
Yeah, come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Seaton?
No, not another reporter.
No, I'm looking into the fire at the studios.
Oh, insurance?
Yes. How are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty bored. Private wards are okay, but you don't get much passing traffic. You want to hear about a fire, I suppose?
No rush.
Oh, well, I was in the studio working on a number.
From what time was this?
I turned up there about 5. Mr. Mitchell, he was next door in number 1, messing around in the control room. He had some trouble with one of the machines.
Oh, what kind of trouble?
Dud transformer, from what Sue told me. Sue Weston, Mitch's secretary.
Yes, is Mr. Mitchell a qualified electrician?
No, just an amateur. He'd been playing around with it for days. I think there'd been a fuse. Oh, he'll tell you more about it than I can. I should ask him.
Oh, I would if I could reach him.
Eh? Well, have you tried the flat?
No, I haven't, but I gather from Miss Weston he's not there.
Well, it can't be far away. I'll give you the number.
Well, but to get back to the fire, what actually happened?
Well, as I said, I've been working late, but by about 8 I'd had enough. I arranged to call Miss Weston, but while I was on the phone, I smelt burning. Funnily enough, I felt a bit warm and switched on the air conditioning about 5 minutes earlier. Anyway, as I said, I went to take a look. Well, the moment I opened the door, it was like being hit by a hurricane. There was smoke. I nearly choked. Well, next thing I remember was waking up in the ambulance.
When Mr. Mitchell left, was everything off next door?
I couldn't say for sure. I didn't look.
Tell me, Mr. Seaton, did you know Mr. Mitchell was in serious financial difficulties?
Well, I knew things were tough, but I wouldn't have said they were as bad as all that.
Well, I'm afraid they were.
Oh, no. Look, if you think he set fire to the place for insurance, you're up the wall. Not Mitch. He's as straight as a die, that bloke. Look, whatever happened was a pure accident. You can take it from me.
pretty austere for service flats.
Yes, but Mr. Mitchell can't afford to be choosy.
Number 47, did you say?
There it is, right in front of us.
Well, key and lock, door ajar, useful.
Well, let's take a look.
Hugh?
Hugh,
look. That stain on the carpet. It's not...
Ketchup? No, it certainly isn't. That's a blood stain if ever I saw one.
Oh, but...
Hold it. Someone in the bedroom. Searching through the drawers by the sound of it. Well, we'll soon see.
What the blazes?
Robbie.
Q.
Inspector Hackett. It can't be, but...
I know. What am I doing here?
Well, yes.
But mind if I put the question first?
Looking for Mitchell.
Have you seen him, Robbie?
Yes, I've seen him. He won't be much help to you, I'm afraid. Not now or ever.
You mean... Well, he's not...
Yes. Bullet through the right temple. Instantaneous. An old service revolver. People will hang on to these souvenirs.
Who found them?
The cleaner, around 8 this morning. Been dead for about 12 hours. Now, let's hear your contribution.
Well, Mitchell's studio went up in smoke last night. Crown Insurance suspect arson. And I am busily earning my retainer.
And was it arson?
Well, it's a bit early to say. Alex sifting through the debris now.
When did the fire start?
It was spotted around 8 o'clock. Could have been smoldering for hours. Mitchell left there around 6.
Well, he was seen entering this apartment around 5 to 8.
Did anyone hear the shot?
Yes, a neighbor just before 8. Thought it was a car backfiring, but the path report confirms the time.
His financial position was a bit shaky. Do you think it's suicide, Robbie?
Well, it has all the earmarks. Gun in hand, door locked on the inside.
No other door?
One to the fire escape, but that was closed, too.
Then what's the query?
An unbelievable error. But then if they weren't made, we'd be out of business, wouldn't we? I'm afraid Mitchell was murdered.
Oh?
We found a beautiful set of his prints on the gun, but that's about all.
I'm not with you, Robbie.
Well, to fire a gun, my dear, one needs to press the trigger, usually with the index finger. The trigger was clean, not even the trace of a smudged print. I'm afraid Mitchell never fired it.
Then who did?
I have a shrewd idea. In fact, I've got a call out for him now. Some young pop singer that Mitchell had under contract. Found some correspondence. Yes, there's been a fair bit of trouble.
This pop singer, is his name Seaton, Johnny Seaton?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm afraid you won't have much of a case against him, Robbie.
Oh?
Well, if Mitchell was killed on the dot of 8, then Seaton has as perfect an alibi as anyone can ask for. That's the exact time he discovered the fire at the studio. And he has a witness to prove it. This is Seaton's room.
Asleep, do you think?
I'll soon tell. Well, he was here a couple of hours ago, Robbie.
His clothes gone?
Just a moment. Yes, they have. Perhaps they've discharged him.
Well, I can soon check with the ward sister.
Right, and I'll check with the porter. Any luck, Robbie?
No, he hasn't been discharged.
But he was seen leaving and used the porter's phone. He rang for a minicab and asked to be taken to Denman Street.
That's the studio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why, go back there?
I wouldn't know. But if we hurry, we might be able to catch him. Well, Mr. Seaton.
Oh, hello, Mr. Barnaby.
Discharged yourself, I gather.
Oh, I got fed up lying there. I felt fine, so I upped and out. Came back to salvage a few manuscripts, but I haven't had much luck.
This is Inspector Hackett.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
I can guess why you're here.
Can you?
Oh, yes, I just bumped into Miss Weston. Saw it in a stop press about Mr. Mitchell. Looks as though you were right, Mr. Barnaby, about things getting on top of him. I never thought he'd do a thing like that.
Like what, Mr. Seaton?
Oh, shoot himself. He had this souvenir from the war. He used to wave it around sometimes, joke about it. Well, people do, but you never take them seriously, do you?
You shared the flat with him, did you?
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't just a manager. He was a real pal. He gave me the run of the place.
So you've a key?
Sure.
You'd also a contract with Mr. Mitchell, which you were very anxious to break.
Oh, I wouldn't put it as strongly as that.
Wouldn't you?
Well, I didn't want to leave him, and... Well, finally, we came to an arrangement. Bert Drobick could handle me, and Mitch would take a small percentage. In fact, we signed a letter only yesterday. There shall be a copy in his drawer upstairs.
But if you've been up there, you'll know there's not much left of his desk.
Oh. You'll have to take my word for it, won't you?
Yeah. We can't very well ask Mr. Mitchell, can we?
Come in. Oh, Alec. How are we?
Since I took a shower, cleaner. Quite a job sifting through that debris.
Well, how'd you make out?
Well, there's little doubt the fire originated in a piece of recording equipment. I found evidence of a faulty transformer.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it was in a wooden casing. I also checked the switch, and the machine was left running.
Then surely the fuse would have gone before the casing caught fire.
Mm, if the correct cartridge fuse was in the plug, should have been 2 amp, but it was 13. And you did say Mitchell was something of an amateur.
Yes, but all the same, those fuses could have been swapped, and the machine left on deliberately.
True. Mitchell's dead. Too late to question him. It could have been deliberate, I agree, but if it was, I don't see how you can prove it now.
Now, Miss Weston, I'm sorry to have to go over this again, but you're quite sure that it was 8 o'clock when Mr. Seaton rang?
Yes, positive, Inspector. I remember looking at the clock as I got out of the bath. In fact, I still had the towel round me.
Have you anything more, Q?
Oh, just a few small points. Who usually locked up at the studios?
Well, I did most days. Except if there was a late recording session. Johnny had a key, too.
Have you ever known Mr. Mitchell to leave any of the equipment switched on?
Well, he didn't make a habit of it. But it has happened once or twice. One of the machines, the lights, the air conditioning.
I see. Well, I'm sorry to have bothered you, Miss Seaton.
Oh, that's okay.
Miss Weston, I'm sorry.
Anything to help? I can go, can I?
Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, that doesn't take us much further, does it, Q? We know Mitchell entered the apartment at 5 to 8 and was shot a minute or so later on the dot of 8, in fact. Now, Seaton could have been waiting for him.
Yes, but at the time, he was at the studio. And he has Miss Weston to prove it. And it's a good 10 minutes from the apartment, even by car.
Yes, true. Well, then, maybe I'd better fish around for another suspect. After all, a man can't be in two places at once, can he?
The report to the Crown Insurance, Q, all ready to sign.
Well, I can't say I'm that happy.
Well, it seems to hinge on Miss Weston's evidence, doesn't it?
There's nothing like having a witness to substantiate an alibi.
True. Usually it's an eyewitness, and what do we call her? An ear witness?
Yes, I suppose we do.
Well, if you've got your pen, would you mind signing? Mm. Oh, Q, the report. Sign. I'll pop it into an envelope, and then off it can go to the Crown Insurance. The name's Barnaby.
Just a second, Belle.
Well, is it going in the post tonight or isn't it?
No. It's going into the waste paper basket instead.
Yeah, I spent nearly an hour on that.
I'll see you get a bonus.
For what?
Putting a crazy idea into my head. Now grab your coat and follow me. We're going back to that studio.
Oh, really, Q, what are you hoping to find?
It's what I'm hoping not to find. Look at the debris. There's something missing, isn't there?
Well, is there? Looks pretty much the same to me.
It is. Alex sifted through it, but it's all there.
Now, would you mind explaining?
Yes, in a second. First, let's have Miss Weston's statement. Have you got it?
Word for word.
Good. But before we see her again, I have a couple of errands to make.
What have you got there?
What's it look like?
Got a tape recorder.
Right. I hired it.
Buying records, too, I see.
Mm-hmm. Just one.
What on earth for?
Don't look so bewildered. It's not in the top 10, but you can order it from almost any record shop.
So now, where do we go?
Well, I'm going to call on Miss Weston, but I want you to call Robbie. So out you get and tell him to be at this address in about half an hour.
Oh, Mr. Barnaby, I'm just on my way up.
Then I'll be as brief as I can.
Bought yourself a recording machine?
No, just on loan.
Mitch had quite a nice little one.
Yes, I noticed it when I was here earlier.
It's useful for rehearsing.
And for quite a few other things, such as establishing alibis.
Establishing?
Oh, come on, Mr. Seaton, you're more than familiar with the word alibi. You produced one that was almost foolproof.
Did I?
I could kick myself for not latching on earlier.
Well, latching on to what?
How a man can be in two places at once. Killing Mitchell in this apartment 1 minute and discovering the fire at the studio the next.
Sorry, you're way ahead of me.
Then I'll enlighten you with a practical demonstration. First, do you recognize this voice?
Johnny was on the phone to me. Johnny Seaton.
Hey, Sue.
What time was this?
On the dot of 8.
Yes, it's just a repeat of her original statement,
burning,
which I just
put
recorded.
Down the phone and went to see what it was. And suddenly I could hear him coughing and the sound of burning. Then there was this awful crash of glass. I knew something.
Oh, very enlightening, I'm sure.
Yes, it is to me. It tells me that when you rang Miss Weston, you were never at the studio.
How? And where the hell was I?
In this apartment, I believe. You waited for Mitchell, shot him, then rang Miss Weston, and the sound of fire she heard was a track from a special sound effects record very popular with dramatic societies.
Where is this tape?
Oh, you've made some mistakes. You're not as foolish as that. I'm sure you destroyed it.
And where's your proof, Mr. Barnaby?
Miss Weston's given me all the proof I need.
I don't see how you...
No? Then listen, Mr. Seaton. Just listen to this. Sound of fire, isn't it? Plus a crash of glass, as Miss Weston described.
So?
Extraordinary when there are no windows in the basement studio and the partition to the control room is still intact.
What?
I'm afraid it didn't break, Mr. Seaton. So it's obvious you weren't phoning from the studio. Ah, Robbie, no doubt. He may not be very musical, but the inspector does have a wonderful sense of timing.
That was Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby and Gudrun Ure as Val in The Sound of Fire, written by Philip Levine and produced for the BBC by Martin C. Webster.